Good morning again. Today, we're going to look at three different scriptures, and I'll kind of introduce them a little bit. First, we're going to look at Noah that we talked about, and I want to introduce and just say Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Then we'll talk about Moses. Moses had two sons, Gershom and Eliezer. And then Joseph, the father, the earthly father of Jesus, also had James, Joseph, Simon, Judas, and at least two unnamed daughters. And I've already told you enough that I think we can agree on a few things. We can agree that these three men were used by God to do great things, were they not? Noah and Moses and Joseph. I think we can probably agree that they were very different from each other. And I also think, and even if you're not sure about it, I think we can find evidence today that none of these three men were perfect. So, before we begin reading about Noah, I'd like to pray once again. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here. God, I haven't said anything yet here, but I'll just say it to you. I thank you for my dad. I thank you for the way that you have moved in my life through him. I thank you for that gift. I thank you for enabling that relationship to happen in a way that, God, only you could have. And I am who I am today because of who you made my dad to be and how he just moved and worked and functioned and supported and encouraged and provided accountability in my life. And God, I just thank you for every bit of who my dad is. And I thank you too for the dads who are here today, for the dads who are not, for the dads who are listening, for the dads that have children here that recognize that and just want to honor them as well. God, you're so amazing and so wonderful, and sometimes we forget about just some of the things that are common things in our lives, like those relationships. But today we remember them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's jump right into it. Noah, we're going to talk about, is in Genesis chapter 6, and I'm going to be reading verses 9 through 17. Genesis chapter 6, verses 9 through 17. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you're to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth and destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has breath of life in it. Most, if not all of us, know the story. God used Noah for the ultimate do-over. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. The scripture says that. I know what some of you fathers are thinking. You're going to say, well, look, that just leaves me out. Ain't nobody ever going to say that about me. That's Noah. That's like the Noah. That's like the one that was the boat guy and could build all this stuff all at once. Well, I want to remind you a few things about Noah. Noah also became drunk, and his drunkenness, it led to shame for his family. And then connected to that, he failed to correct his son's behavior and instead cursed his grandson. That was Noah. The quick point here is you don't have to be perfect. You just need to be willing to be used by God and open your life to him. That's what I want us to hear. And there are a lot of men that don't step foot in a church. And you can think of some of them right now. You're related to some of them. Some of them might be your dads that won't come to church because they're not good enough. In fact, they can't imagine how they could be who they are and come to church and live up to what they believe a person like Noah is supposed to be. Now, I'm not saying it's appropriate to just go out and get drunk and do stupid stuff and start cursing people. That's not what the Bible is saying doing. But I'm saying just because that may have been a part of who you are, that may have been a part of what happened in your life, that doesn't mean that that has to be your identity. That doesn't mean that that's who you are as a person. It means that God desires to take you and help you grow into the person. And there's a lot of it now, and I'm not trying to get political about anything like that, but in some places we're downplaying what a man should be. And God created us to be men. And that doesn't give us rights to mistreat anyone. But a lot of times we try to put men, the world tries to put men into a box that God never intended. And so I want you to understand, if there's men in your life that they just can never see themselves as a church type of person, help them to see God and that God loves them for who they are. And I pray, one of the things I pray that is we as a church become open and understanding in a way that people, not just men that struggle in that way, but anybody feels that this is a place they can come and seek and find God to grow into who God calls them to be, not who the world says some good so-and-so, whatever should be. God created us, and it's a beautiful thing. So I just want to challenge you with that, realizing that we don't have to fit into anybody's mold, but to be who God called us to be. Let's move on to Moses. Exodus chapter 3, and I'll read verse 10. Then we'll pause for a minute. Exodus chapter 3, verse 10 says, "So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Big deal. God shows up and says, "Moses, I got something for you. This is what I want you to do." That's a big deal. When God shows up and says, "Here you go," that's a pretty big plan. That I know people, I am one of those people at times who have prayed, just, "God, show me what you want me to do. Who do you want me to be? Where do I, just show me, God." Moses got that type of answer. And I've already talked about him ascending the mountain, what he did there. So besides being picked to do that, there's another part of what we need to pay attention to, beginning right after he was asked. You see, Moses had issues as well. He made excuses not to do what God asked him to do. Not once, not twice, or even three times, but the Bible records five excuses that Moses made. So let me ask you for a second. You ever ask God, "Show me, God, what it is you want me to do. Show God what you want me to be." If he does that, are you going to accept it? It may not be as easy as you think, because God usually asks us to do God-sized stuff, not Greg-sized stuff. And then sometimes God asks us to do God-sized stuff when Greg may think it's beneath him and isn't important enough. So we need to be careful. I believe if we ask God to show us, God will show us, and we will see it and we will know it if we're open and willing, but we have to be careful. Moses' excuses were he felt inadequate. Not knowing what to say was his second. Lacking authority was his third. Being a poor speaker was his fourth. And finally, he just requested God, go ahead and send somebody else. You ever been there? Have there ever been things God wanted you to do and you knew it was a part of it, but somehow or another you thought maybe just God messed up? Because God, you don't understand it. I ain't got that ability. And I can look right there at Bob Umbarger and know he can do it three times better than I can. So go ask him. Leave me alone. You ever been like that? There's a reason we're looking at Moses today. Let me read, and I'm just going to read a portion of it. It doesn't cover all the excuses, but I want you to hear some of it. It says in verse 11, right after verse 10, it's in chapter 3, it says, "But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I to do it?" Then we go into chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Moses answered, "What if they don't believe me or don't listen to what I say? The Lord did not appear to you." The Lord said to him, "What's in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it down on the ground." Moses threw it down on the ground, became a snake, and he ran from it. "So would I." Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." I would not have done that, but he told Moses to do it. Well, maybe if God did, I would, but I don't know. So Moses reached out, took a hold of the snake, and turned it back into a staff in his hand. Then this, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand inside his cloak. When he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become white as snow. "Now put it back in your cloak," he said. Moses put it back in his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it onto the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent." I can't talk, God. "Neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." After all these excuses, guess what God did? He still used Moses. God doesn't give up on you, but he doesn't force you either. God didn't give up on Moses. God kept saying that, I can do this with you, Moses. I can do it. Here's how I'm going to do it. That was the time he got a little frustrated with Moses, and he just kept on making the excuses, but he didn't give up on him. And God doesn't give up on us. It's very possible there's something God's been wanting you to do for weeks, months, maybe even 10 years, and you've known God wanted you to do it. But you've been able to rationalize, and you've been saying, "I can't," for all these reasons that make just as much sense as those did to Moses. And God still hasn't given up on you yet, and you don't have a peace about it. And it could be something that seems trivial. It can be something that seems absolutely impossible. But I'm telling you, if God's asking you to do something and you're not doing it, you're robbing yourself of the blessing that God desires to give you. And you're probably impacting the lives of others around you that God wants to touch as well. Because guess what? It ain't about you. It's about God and what God wants to do. And God wants to love all over you. And he wants to use you. And he has a plan for you. And if we will give in to that, God will do things we can't even imagine. Let's keep going. Joseph. Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 53. Matthew 13, beginning with 53. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue. They were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They said, "Isn't this the carpenter's?" Remember I talked about Joseph being a carpenter? "Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "The prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home." And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Joseph was the father of Jesus. That's why it sounded like it was more about Jesus than it was, but there's things there that we learn about Joseph. Joseph was the father of Jesus. Now, my boys might talk about the challenges of being a PK or a preacher's kid, and there are, but can you imagine being the father of Jesus? What kind of pressure is that? But this was God's plan, and Joseph embraced it. We know from the Christmas story that he trusted God when things around him didn't make sense. Joseph, even though he was Jesus' chosen earthly father, there was a lot he didn't understand about Jesus and about what was going on in the world around him. But that did not keep God from placing Joseph in this role and using him. You're not going to understand everything God wants you to know from the get-go. He's not going to give you the blueprint so you know everything you have to do. You know why he doesn't do that? One, our brain isn't big enough. Two, if we think that's the case, then we go and do it on our own instead of trusting him along the way. There's two good reasons that when God asks us to do something, we're not allowed to know fully how everything's going to turn out or the steps that we're going to take, because then we take it and make it ours. And it's not ours. It's his. And that's what was going on with Joseph. Imagine the negative thought and pressure Joseph could have put on himself. I'm pitiful compared to all those other men. Look at Moses and Noah and what they did. I'm the father of Jesus Christ. Everyone is expecting me to do something special. And all I am is a common carpenter. I had a conversation with a member several months ago. He didn't feel he was really equipped to share Christ with others. He's more of a quiet, behind-the-scenes type of guy. But I can assure you, and I've had the opportunity to point out to him how God uses us just as the person he created us to be. We are not called to be someone else. We are called to be the person God created us to be. So, with those three examples, here are some takeaways that I have for you dads, but not just the dads, for all the men, not just all the men, but for all the women, not just all the men and women, but for young people too, for everyone. These are things I think we can learn from today. One is, in case you didn't know it, you're not perfect. Everybody get that? And God doesn't expect you to be. Secondly, God desires you to use your gifts as a part of his plan. God made you unique. God made you a certain way. And it's to be celebrated. It's a good thing. But he wants you to use them in ways you can't figure out by yourself. He wants to be a part of helping you discover that. God wants you to be you and no one else. How many times have you looked at someone else and compared yourself to them and just felt like you didn't measure up? God doesn't want that. But here's something else God doesn't want either. God doesn't want us to look at someone else and say, well, I did better than he did. God wants us to be who he calls us to be. And we can't do that without him either. Third thing. Fourth, having God as your foundation for life will make a profound impact on your children. You might say, well, I was wondering how you're going to make this a Father's Day message, because it just sounded like about three men in the Bible and how they lived a good life. But I'm telling you, I pointed out that each one of these men had children. Do you believe the way they lived, the way they chose to live, impacted the children they had? Do you? It has to. And so this is something I want you to hear. Instead of working so hard to be the father the world tells you to be, I believe we're to be the men God created us to be. And when we do that, we naturally become the fathers God created us to be and the fathers God desires our children to have. So don't worry about checking the boxes as to whether you're the best father this year or not. Simply seek God and ask God, who do you want me to be today? Just asking that question opens up a world of possibilities. And you know what? You're still not going to be perfect. But if you ask that question and you're open to hearing it, God's going to take you to places and enable you to be a person that you are not right now. At least not on the outside, but you have that potential inside. And many of you, another thing that will happen, and I talked about how I could give testimony here for each one of the guys that were here. There are things, there are ways God has used you in your lives to touch your children, to touch other people, and you haven't seen it. Some of the reasons you haven't seen it is because you haven't allowed yourself to have that connection with God in a way that you see the blessing that He's done. And it's not to your credit, it's to God's credit. But we are to give Him credit for that. So I would ask our praise team to come. And as they come, I challenge you, man, woman, child, young person, are you the person God created you to be? The answer is yes. The question is, will you continue to seek Him to grow into whatever that plan is He has for you? And it's a great one. And I'm telling you, one of the big things for me on Father's Day, because dads, when they get serious about wanting to be the best father they can be, so often they start playing that comparison game, and don't do that. It's my prayer today that you will see yourself as God sees you. Darren, God loves you. God gave you the children that you have, and God uniquely put you all together, and there's gifts there, and there's joy to be had in the midst of that, even in the biggest struggles that you have. The same is true with you, Brandon. You have a lot going on. You're busy. And that's part of who you are. But then in that busyness, God can be so evident to Quentin. And I've seen that happen. And I could go through each one of you men and talk about that. Caesar, you've got children. You're about to have another one. It's so exciting. God is just birthing, not only within your wife, but within you, opportunities you don't even know yet of what it means to be father of another child. As you seek God, God's going to regularly open doors for that. And there's excitement to come all along that journey. That's who God is. And it happens every day. And it's supposed to be filled with joy. That's why Jesus came. So that we might understand who God desires to be in our lives. I'll ask everyone to stand. Fathers, this could be the beginning of a tremendous journey in a new direction if that's what God's calling you for, calling you towards. The altar's open. You can come and pray. You can come to God and say, I'm ready. You can come to God and say, help me to be more than I can be myself. Help me to be the husband. Help me to be the father. Help me to be the person. Help me to be the friend. Help me to be who you created me to be. But guess what? Even though this is Father's Day and we're directing this message towards the fathers, it applies to every single person that's here.